Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Rob. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Well, Rob, fresh off the presses, right? We just got the federal budget a couple of days ago released. We've got to try to make some sense of it. We've been parsing through it. Mm-hmm. But we've got a terrific guest to help us really understand this. Jamie Golombek, who's the Managing Director of Tax and Estate Planning at CIBC, joining us again. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, let's talk about, we got 10 minutes to try to do some justice. So maybe let's start with some of just sort of the big things that you took out of here. And then we'll talk about maybe what some of the surprises, either because they were in it or not in this particular budget. But give us your highlights.
Well, I think really this, there was not a lot there for everyone, but there is a lot in there if you're a homeowner or you want to be a homeowner or you want to renovate a home for multi-generations. Like, there's a lot there, including a brand new type of a registered plan, the tax-free first home savings account. So, you know, if you're a homeowner or a prospective owner, lots of good stuff in there for you for sure.
If we stick with the home ownership piece, Rob, one of the things, what I was looking for is sort of that retired and older crowd, what do we got in there? And there were a couple of things in there. And I noticed the home accessibility tax credit. I made note of the multi-generational home reno tax credit. Perhaps you can speak to a little bit about what those programs are, Jamie.
No, absolutely. So look, the home accessibility tax credit, that's not new, right? But that's the existing 15%. It's a non-refundable federal credit. It really provides to recognize the fact that if you're doing some eligible home renovations or alteration expenses for someone who's at least 65 years of age or any age if they have a disability and get the disability tax credit, it's recognizing a credit towards those expenses. So the budget yesterday proposes to basically double the amount of the eligible credit to $20,000. That's up from $10,000. And that's immediately for 2022. So 15% of that, bringing that up from $1,500 to $3,000. And the hope is that that increase will really provide more support for significant renovations. So things like putting a bedroom or a bathroom, maybe on the main level of a house, for an individual that's got mobility challenges accessing some of the other floors. The other one is a new one, right? The multi-generational home renovation credit. It's a brand new, it's a 15%. This is a refundable credit. So you get a refund, even if you don't owe any tax. And ultimately it's on $50,000 of expenses. And again, this is for a qualifying renovation that creates a secondary dwelling. And that really is to permit an eligible person, which is a senior, someone who's over 65, or again, someone with a disability credit of any age, to live with a relative. And a relative could be, you know, parents, grandparents, you know, children, grandchildren over the age of 18, you know, a sibling, an uncle's, aunts, nieces, and nephews. So again, it can be claimed by the eligible person or by the relative. And really, this is for a self-contained unit. So we're talking about a private entrance, a kitchen, bathroom facility, sleeping area, either newly constructed or really modified. It can't be something that already meets the definition of a secondary unit. So any expenses like labor, professional services, building materials, you know, things like that, that all qualifies. But, you know, furniture, that's obviously not going to qualify. It's not integral to the structure. And again, this is available starting next year in 2023 for any work or materials bought next year in 2023.
Rob, anything stick out to you?
Maybe if we get to Jamie's, we have a lot of conversations with clients on the expected changes that are going to happen in these budgets and what people are expect and then what doesn't happen. So maybe you can highlight the things that were expected that did not change in this budget.
Yeah. Well, like, there was certainly a lot of buzz in terms of what may be in there. We weren't actually expecting stuff. Like, for example, obviously the capital gains inclusion rate. Everyone was terrified that the rate was going to go from 50% to 75%. Obviously nothing in there on that. Some people worried about the principal resident exemption. Now, they didn't take away the exemption. However, they did introduce an anti-flipping tax, which is interesting. Starting next year in 2023, if you sell your home, you can't claim the principal residence if you own it less than 12 months. Similarly, by the way, if you own a rental property, they're also going to say if it's under 12 months, not only can you not claim the residence exemption, of course, principal residence on a rental property, but it's not even a capital gain. It's 100% taxable income because you're in the business of flipping. So basically, big changes for next year. Any residential property held under 12 months will be 100% taxable as business income. No principal resident exemption and no capital gains treatment. So I think that's something that we were sort of expecting that we did see, but no other changes to capital gains rates, no changes to tax rates. and certainly no changes to the principal residence exemption.
So, Jamie, how would you characterize this? Were you surprised by either what was in there or wasn't what wasn't in there? You rightfully said there was a lot of buzz. We certainly had a lot of clients that were quite nervous about what could be. Were you surprised?
Yeah, no, I wasn't surprised at all. In fact, I would say I predicted 80% of it. I actually wrote a column in the National Post last Saturday, and I think I got 8 out of the 10 items correct. Because basically, we've been reading and studying what the government's been saying for the last 6 months or 8 months. And I've really been sort of looking at all that. And pretty much we nailed every single topic that they were going to talk about, and they threw it in there. So really, not really too many surprises for us. They had some positive stuff in terms of modifications to that first home buyer's plan. Originally, it was supposed to be for people under 40. Now there's no age restriction, right? So again, a bit generous on that. We saw a bit more details on that. But really, we knew about 80% of this content well before, not from a leak, just from following the election promises, what the liberals have been saying, and stuff they'd sort of hinted at in the months before.
Any implications? There were some changes for small business owners a little bit. And of course, we had some taxes on some of the bigger institutions, financial institutions in Canada. I think that was, at least on the financial side, widely forecast, although maybe a little easier than what people had anticipated. What, if any, implications do you see in those two areas?
Well, again, the big change, very positive change for larger small businesses, is a relaxing of the rules around the small business deduction. So right now, you can actually lose the small business rate if your capital in your business is over $10 million and it's completely gone at $15 million. They're now going to expand that range from $10 million to $50 million. So again, a lot more opportunity for larger businesses to claim that small business rate, which is certainly very, very fortunate and good news for business owners.
Okay, and then from a government coffers perspective, to the extent you can comment on that, Jamie, interested in your thoughts around the revenue that they're generating versus the spending, and from a budget perspective, can you comment on that?
Yeah, again, look, we're always looking for people to be, fiscally prudent and responsible. Philosophically, shouldn't really spend more than you take in. So spending is always an issue, absolutely. And again, we're going to be looking towards the government in future years to reduce the deficit and try to reduce the debt. Interest rates are still relatively low, but we could see that rate hike coming this week, 50 basis points. And that's going to start costing more and more money in terms of financing, right, in terms of the government debt. So right now, spending, is coming down, but we'd like to see more responsibility, more conservatism on that.
And then maybe just one last comment before we let you go. Given that, Rob, a lot of the concern that we had from clients on maybe an additional federal income tax bracket being added, this concern around the inclusion rate, maybe just your parting thoughts on where you think that is in the agenda for coming tax. Do we set it aside? Is it still being reviewed? What's your thought on it?
Yeah, well, look, they obviously have some concerns. There was a mention in this budget about a new alternative minimum tax. They did find that some very high income people, the top 0.5%, makes income over $400,000 a year, were in many cases, or at least a third of the cases, paying only less than a 15% rate of tax. And that's through things like capital gains preferences and Canadian dividend income. So we know it's a focus. It's something they're looking at. And they said more details to follow in the fall economic statement.
Okay. Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled for that. Jamie, thank you very much for breaking down the document and sort of the key areas. We appreciate it. We look forward to having you back on in the not too distant future.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Well, Rob, I think that, the conclusion, I think when I read the initial documents, I was looking for some of those key areas, those key tax increases, the things that, clients had been talking about, were really quite concerned about, and they weren't there this time. And from that perspective, I think there's going to be a bit of a collective sigh of relief. You can see, I think, where the economic agenda is, for sure. We're going to have to see, with respect to increasing taxes on, say, financial institutions, what that does from an investment perspective, and how international capital views Canada from an investment perspective, and we'll watch how that plays out. But overall, what's your take? I would think that's probably a sigh of relief for many of the people that we deal with.
Yeah, I would say a lot of clients and people in general will be, yes, again, I think relief is the key word, and maybe some hope.
And we'll have to see how that program rolls out for the home buyers, right? Combination RSP tax-free savings account idea. For new houses, as we get the details on that, I think there will be something in that, where the where families can do some tax planning, but we're going to have to get, I think, a little more of the detail on that.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, well, listen, I thought that was a terrific segment. We have to remind everybody, so the tax changes are things that happen all the time, right? And we know that tax is the single biggest line item on anybody's retirement, you know, expense sheet, and it it is forever dynamic, which means that our retirement programs have to be dynamic, and we're going to talk about that at our upcoming seminar.
You're right. They didn't change this time. They could in the future. Mm-hmm. So join us to talk about that Tuesday, April 26th at 7 p.m. in person again at the Carriage House Inn and online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Markets continue to be choppy, lots of volatility. You want to find out how to look for opportunities in this kind of a volatile market. Stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.